So today we're going to talk a little bit about great men and how they become great men and some of the impediments of becoming great. And we may talk about this more than once, but that's it for today. So stay with us. Hello on this April the 28th issue of All Things Apostolic. I'm glad that you're with us today, and we're going to talk just a little bit about some things that always are of concern to me. So I'm glad, and I hope they are to you, I'm glad that you joined us and trust that our conversation today can be fruitful and probing and perhaps cause a little reflection in all of us and some action, hopefully. So we're glad you're with us. We had a great day yesterday. We had a wedding Friday night, and the pastor of the girl, tremendous man of God, Nathan Thornton, stayed over from West Monroe, Louisiana, and preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. And what a tremendous move of God we had in those two services. It was just outstanding. And people within the orbit that we think of kind of subconsciously are having revival. People in different places are having revival. We have missionary Philip Fritz that just went to Italy, and I think yesterday may have been his very first Sunday, maybe second, and he baptized three new people from Croatia. Pastor Young had pictures and showed them to us last night. And the Croatian people want him to come, and they said, we have friends and relatives that are interested. So here we go. He's in Italy, but Croatia's not that far away, evidently. And so they came, and they're connected with him. And then they said, we have relatives in Albania, which a pastor's nephew just went there. His brother-in-law is an Albanian. He is from Albania. And his nephew just went there starting a church. And so it's like bingo. You can't help but see the hand of God in these things that are taking place. Other churches and some of the missions works are growing. Great report from Africa last week. A number received the Holy Ghost. And so we're excited about these things. Next week, let's talk for just a moment about next week. Next week, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about verbal being. Verbal being is passed on to his reward already, but he was a great man of God, and few people I know of in America or the world had such an impact spiritually as did verbal being. So next week, we're going to talk about that a little bit. The reason is because his wife wrote a book, long time coming. She finally wrote this, got this completed. It's a wonderful book. You're welcome to buy one of them. The name of it is My Life with Verbal Being, The Man, The Minister. I'm sure you can find that. I didn't look to see where you could order the book. Why don't we just do that right now and help you out a little bit. Some of you will want this book. You won't know where to get it. And so to order additional copies, contact life@verbalbeing.com. life@verbalbeing.com. So that's an email address, life@verbalbeing.com. One word, no breaks in there, no spaces. And anyway, so I was asked to write a little piece in the book about verbal being, and which I did. So it's here in the book. And then I was asked last week, I was told that they want to put a little video clip attached to the book where you can, I guess, hit a button, or hit a QR code or hit a something, and it will give myself and there's a probably six or eight other people who testified of the impact that Verbal Bean made on their life or friends of his and their observations about him. This, so they want where people can actually see a clip of these people, including myself, talking about him. So we've already recorded that, and we're going to play that for you next week on All Things Apostolic. And we also want to tell you the book is an outstanding book, and you will enjoy reading it about a very unusual man. And we'll talk about him more next week, but he was a very unusual man in that I read some of the other things that people wrote about him, like he was the most guileless man they ever met, which I would agree, the purest man, the most spiritual man. I mean, this gentleman was, he was something else. And one of the most powerful men in the spirit, one of the most discerning men in the Holy Ghost, and a tremendous preacher of the word, straightforward, tremendous spirit when he preached. And perhaps even a better teacher, but he was maybe not. He was an excellent preacher, but also an excellent teacher. Had a great value on teaching. God used him supernaturally. I was there. I watched these things happen. I experienced it in my own life. And so this has made me think about my life and your life. In a book I wrote about a great friend of mine when I was about 30 years old and he was 55. And he was a prominent man in his community. He was a pastor of one of the larger churches in the state. He was a leader of men, talking about preachers. He was highly respected by everybody that knew him. He had a master's degree. He was had a beautiful family. And he told me one night he was careful about what he ate after church. And I think it's when I preached for him one time. But anyway, we went out after church wherever we were. And all he would ever get was a scoop of ice cream, a scoop of vanilla ice cream. That's all he would eat. And so he was sitting there eating his ice cream. And we are having great revival in our church on an unprecedented level. This is when I was in Michigan years ago. And it was just raging. And he said, you know, Brother Wilson, he said, oftentimes in my life, I feel like I've never got untracked. He was a brilliant man. He was a passionate man. Yeah. He was a man gifted, a skilled man. But he always felt like, and he was the way I understood it, and I'm sure the way he meant it was that spiritually to do what he could envision his possibilities were, that he had never really broke loose. And so he said, I feel like I've never really got unleashed to do what I could, what I should. And I remember listening to that. And when he got through, I, of course, was just talking with him. But I said to myself, God, I don't want to ever let that happen to me. I don't want to end up to be, then I was about 30, 55 years old, and still saying I've never got untracked. I understand this. But you wouldn't think of him as thinking that, because he was a very successful man and a tremendous man, tremendous mind and wonderful spirit, and excellent teacher and preacher and a judge. He was actually a judge. But anyway, and then 5 years later, he was dead. He had a heart attack at 60 years old. So I've thought about that a lot of times. He was such a dear friend. It was such a loss. And I've considered that, and I've pondered that. And I've thought about my life and your life. And at what point in the progression of life into adulthood and preparation and development and actualization into the world by our actions of what we are, doing something constructive, actualization of what we are potentially. That's what we do when we do things. That's the doing of the thing is the actualization of the invisible that's within us and that exist in potentia, but has not become reality. Potential is not nothing. Potential is not nothing. It is something, but it's not full reality either. It lies in potentia. It's real, but it's only real potentia. And so it lies there until it is actualized by an individual. So this is a big, in our, when we get deep into the subject, the biblical theology of human spirituality, when we get deep into that in our classes, we always come to these probing questions about how much of my human spirituality still lies in potentia, never actualized in reality. And the discussion broadens quickly. What are the impediments that are keeping me from joining that rare fellowship of the few that have stepped deeply and radically into their own potential? And you can see that they've done this not by what they are saying, but you can see it to the degree that it's actualized. So leadership is a naked affair. It's you can't be a leader and hide. It's everything's wide open. And people can judge. And so on a leadership level, you can judge the degree of potential. We may not be able to judge how much potential a person has to some exact number or unit of quantification. But we can tell whether there has been actualization of potential. And there are people who have great, every time I get on this subject, I can think of two or three immediate thoughts of people whose potential was there. Some of them were, they saw such outstanding ideas. When they would give them to me, I would recognize this guy's way ahead of me. He's got this. And there were things he said he would like to do, but they were still in potentia. And they were existent in the infinite world of thought. He had thought them, he had caught them, they were revealed to him, things. But when it came to actualization into reality, they never got there. The one I'm thinking about right now is dead and gone. Never got there. He could talk it, and he had it. But talking it and having it has a certain amount of satisfaction. But until it is actualized, it ends up to be nothing in terms of changing the earth, in terms of being an agent of change, a change agent, a causal force. In terms of that, it never happens. So when we're thinking about Verbal Being, this is a man who went far. He went far in the actualization of his own potentiality. So you may be involved in the actualization of your ministry and it not look very much like what his ministry was. That's not the point. The point, and I've often thought this and articulated this, that when you look at this man, people that tried to mimic, and this is a mistake people make, they try to mimic the way the guy walks, or they try to mimic his voice, or they try to mimic those physical features or actions or habits and feeling like this is some way that they're coming into a oneness with the ministry that the man has. That none of that even matters. And a person needs to make up their mind ahead of times that if I actualize my ministry to its fullest potential possible, or at least far beyond where I'm at now, if I actualize that because this man inspired me, or any other man that God has used or woman that God has used to inspire you, it's a mistake for you to think that your ministry is supposed to look just like theirs, because your ministry will have its own features. You have different, like if you took 10 things here and this is my strengths and you named all 10 of those, well, they're not all going to be on the 10 line. Some of those will be an 8, some of those will be a 6, some of those will be a 7, 9, 3, 1, 4. And so the line goes like this. So your line is not going to look like his line. And our lines are all not going to look alike either. God gives us our gifts, and God puts us in the body where he wants us. And these are areas where a foot in the body has a different function than a hand in the body. And so those functions are different. So those ministries don't look alike, but they're all, of course, in the body. These are things that we all, I think, have a pretty good understanding of. But it still is a temptation for young and particularly people that are still a little bit immature in their growth in God to think that mimicking is being like that person in terms of their ministry. And of course, it's not. And so in the years that I've lived, Brother Bean had affected a lot of men's lives, including mine, and most profoundly. I think part of it was because I was at the right time in life. I was young. I was innocent. I was like, had no ulterior motives. I had no questions about who I heard preach. I embraced them all. Thank God for pastors and leaders that put me in places where I heard sound preaching from trustworthy people. And so his preaching and teaching and spiritual work on the formation that took place in my life was on ground that was perfectly watered for it, perfectly ready for it. And the amount of sunshine, we're talking agriculture here, was just right. And the soil of my heart was just right. And my attitude, my hungers, my searching for purpose, and all the things that a young person may experience. So the impact was profound. And I was young enough that I didn't have a lot of cautionary signals registering and going off while I was developing. I didn't have people saying, well, you better be careful. There was none of that. The people that was around me, my folks and my pastor, were very encouraging. And they understood. They saw me in ways that I certainly didn't see myself. So these are good questions and things for us to ponder today and probe. So next week, we'll talk a little bit about Evangelist Verbal Bean.